You're listening to Network World Panorama, interviews with industry experts that give you a view of the networking landscape.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Network World Panorama. I'm Keith Shaw, Programming Director here at Network World. On this podcast, we'll be talking about whether software can still make us productive. Joining me on the phone to discuss some of these issues is Wendy Steinle. She's the Director of Product Marketing for the End User Computing Division of Novell. Wendy, thanks for joining us on the phone today.
Thanks for having me, Keith. It's a pleasure to join you.
All right, so let's get started. Companies, they have fewer employees these days, obviously, as they've made job cuts and things like that. And the remaining employees need to increase their efficiencies and really foster innovation in order to prepare their company for growth when we come out of this recession. So how can productivity software help do this?
Well, it helps in two different ways. The first is along the lines of knowledge management. I'll come back to that in just a second. And the other is in helping people work together more effectively. From the first bit, with people coming and going, the fact is that there is a whole lot of user-generated content that gets lost in systems, and companies should look at that content as assets to reuse. The fact is storage last year grew at about 100%, and 52% of that was user-generated content. So that can give your listeners a good idea of, you know, how much of that is ideas, work projects, that sort of thing that users are creating. So as people come and go or move to new jobs, others who move in need to be able to leverage those assets. So productivity software such as team workspaces that have document management or content management systems included in them can be helpful, or those that have search capability where you can type in a topic and be able to pull up documents, information, blog postings, that sort of thing, all on that topic. So you can very quickly hone in on what thought processes have gone on before, what people have had those, are those people still around, are they interested in working with me now? So knowledge management incorporated with team workspace software and search is very important. Another is just the fact of helping people reduce the cycle time of creating new ideas and getting their work done. And one way to do that is to try to eliminate our old way of doing things, which is creating really heavyweight documents that then get circulated through email, and hopefully you've got the right people reviewing them at a certain time in order to come out with the good product at the other end. Companies can look to some of the new productivity tools to create a much lighter process for creating ideas and outputs, and a better way for getting all of the right people into the idea generation up front.
Okay, now you mentioned that there was 100% growth in storage last year, and so obviously you've got a lot of user-generated content that's being created. But really, let's be honest, how many gold nuggets are really in that data? Because it seems like a lot of the data that gets created would just be like gossipy emails, or I don't know. How do you figure out whether where the gold nuggets are?
Well, a really good search system can actually give apply ratings to the content that it pulls up, based on the relevancy to the topic at hand. So Novell has a product that does this, and I find that very useful when I'm going and digging in, for instance, on a certain promotional topic or something like that. So there are tools that can be used to help sort the riffraff out.
All right, let's talk about some of these new tools. What are the ones that kind of fall into this category of productivity software? Because that sounds pretty general to call it productivity software. And I noticed you use the word knowledge management as well, and that's kind of a phrase that I've heard for a few years now as well.
Right. Well, the new tools that we're really talking about are things like team workspaces, wikis, blogs, microblogs, better use of formats like video, global search, and even mobile computing devices that are really becoming full OSs.
So how do these tools differ from the ones that we may have seen a few years ago?
The tools that we used a few years ago, and frankly most companies are still using very heavily today, are things like file systems, shared folders, email, and office productivity applications. Now, those tools still certainly have a role in today's productivity and even moving into tomorrow. But what's important for companies to understand is that they should not try to torture those tools to deliver on the new types of interactions that are needed for companies to be efficient and innovative today. The newer tools like wikis, blogs, microblogs, team workspaces, and others are enabling a new type of interactions that are much more global in reach, so that you can bring in people both known and unknown into discussions, so you get a richer mix of ideas. They also allow for a much faster innovation cycle. A wiki is a place where I can put up an idea and invite people from all over the world to come in and place their ideas, and very quickly, even overnight in some cases, I might have a very rich outcome that otherwise would have taken several weeks of cycle time.
All right, so you've got a company that is convinced that some of these new tools will help them with their employees, making them more productive, and they've discovered the value of finding some of these unknown sources before and getting it faster. So how do they prevent the employees from kind of opting out of these new tools and going back to email, for example? Because it seems like if they deployed these new tools and the employees didn't like it, they would kind of go back to the systems that they were familiar with.
Right, true. It's true that adopting new tools like this actually does require a change in human behavior, and we all know how hard that can be sometimes. But the good news is that there is actually a trend going on right now where users are demanding these tools in the enterprise workplace. We have a situation where many people are accustomed to using things like Facebook or LinkedIn, or even just visiting a community or a blog in their own personal time, and they're starting to recognize that they'd like that in the workplace. Further, the new workforce that's entering the workplace only knows these new tools. They use email very little, so new workers are demanding these tools. So we have a little bit of a leg up to get people to adopt them. That said, it still is a change in human behavior for those that have been in the workforce for a while, and it does require a strategy. What we recommend here is to start by identifying a few target use cases or groups within your company. Identify very specifically the objectives that you're trying to achieve by using the new tool, and work to get the buy-in and commitment just from those people at the director level. Then you need to go through having hands-on training for all the people that are going to be participating in using the new tools, and encourage them to use them for, you know, personal chit-chat if they need to get comfortable with it, and then start adopting it for the specified business use. You know, what happens in the end, too, that we've even seen here at Novell is when you start that way, very quickly those groups that are using it start to realize the benefit, and the wheels start turning around ideas and ways that we can adopt it even further. And then very quickly group pressure simply takes over. And if somebody says, hey, did you email that to me, we say, no, it's all in the team workspace. You can go check it out now and get the latest. So
peer pressure.
Exactly. Peer pressure works, but it's positive peer pressure.
I think that's how we got everybody to start using Twitter here at Network World, was the peer pressure.
Exactly.
So how does a company know whether the software will truly make their employees more productive? Is there some sort of measurement? You know, like, how do they know, other than the, you know, that they see that it's being used? How can they measure the productivity?
The first thing that they'll notice is the proactive spread and use of the tools. As I said, when peer pressure starts to take over, people will start opting in and using these tools more and more on their own because they're recognizing the value or hearing of the value from other people. So the proactive spread is the first thing. The other is that the company will be able to see problems solved faster. They'll be able to recognize that certain groups are getting answers they wouldn't have found on their own because, for instance, they may have posted a problem out to a community and then an answer comes from another geography who's encountered and solved the same problem. Or you can start to better recognize customer needs and improve your product or your service much faster. So companies will see these types of outcomes. Some of our customers have named those exact things. And what they'll find in the end is better innovation, better productivity, and in the end, much better growth.
All right. So, Wendy, where can some of the listeners go for more information about this topic? I would imagine that Novell has some stuff on their website that helps explain some of these ideas.
Absolutely. The best place to go there is novell.com/collaboration.
Excellent. That's all the time we've got on the podcast today. Wendy Steinle, again, thanks for joining us on the show.
Thank you, Keith.
Thanks also to the listeners of Network World Panorama. You can always find more Network World podcasts at www.networkworld.com/podcasts. I'm Keith Shaw. Thanks for listening.